Good morning, WLLY listeners. This is Brother Amen Dave Moran. The Amen Corner is on the air again. We'll have some good singing and music, as well as some old-time preaching. Amen. You can listen to WLLY anywhere you want to by going to WLLYradio.com. And it's all one word, WLLYradio.com. And just follow the instructions. This program is part of my personal ministry to see God's Word glorified. If I can plant a seed in your heart or water a seed already there, I pray God will give the increase. To God be the glory. Amen. So here is today's program. Dedicate this one to Brother Bobby Lamb. It's in the garden. I'll do that in G. And the song itself was written by C. Austin Miles way back in 1913. That's over 100 years old. And I didn't know it when I sung it the other week, but it's based on John chapter 20 in the Bible, where Mary Magdalene meets the Lord in the garden tomb there, and he's there, and she thinks he's the gardener, and she says, if you've taken him away, you know, show me where he is, and I'll take him from there, you know, words to that effect. And he says, Mary, you know, and she says, Rabboni, you know, that's the man was reading that when he got the idea for that song. Praise the Lord, in the garden. Let's see, G chord. I come to the garden of
me, and he taught
with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. That song, I never really understood why the last verse says he bids me go with that voice of, whoa, he did bid her go. He told her to go tell the disciples and Peter that he was risen from the dead. Praise God.
All right. Praise the Lord. We are getting very, very close to Easter, being the last day of this month of March. And we're going to have another song, which I would relate to Easter, a very precious song to me. His sister Jennifer Lewis singing Jesus. Jesus, I love calling his name.
Oh, come on. That's mercy.
Told me right here. Seems like I'm running.
Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to be going into our scriptures today now. We'll be in the book of Hosea, chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 9. So that's Hosea, chapter 12, verse 9. And here God is talking, "And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I have spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the field." And Gilgal is where the children of Israel first came into the land of Israel. That's where they entered from to attack Jericho. They camped in Gilgal. And here we go into verse 12. "And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep." Now what is this? He's talking about the similitudes in verse 10. I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. He's given the people visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. And this is one of those similitudes. It says, "And Jacob fled into the country of Syria." He fled into a foreign land. And Israel served for a wife. That's what he did. Jacob went and he served for a wife. He ended up with two wives, but he served for his favorite, which would be Rachel. And he ended up with Leah, of course, first. And Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep, and that's important. "And by a prophet," in verse 13, "the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved." So God used a prophet to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. "And Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him." In other words, they're going to have to suffer for what they have done. But nonetheless, God has given this similitude, and he gives an explanation of one of them being about Jacob. He fled into the country of Syria, and by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. He's talking about Moses. In other words, Moses was a similitude, and Jacob, we find, was a similitude. But who are they similar to? We have to look into the scripture to find that out. All right, let's go to the book of Genesis then. We're in Genesis chapter 29, and this part of the scripture is where Jacob leaves Isaac, his father, and goes to Laban in the east there, in the children of the east, I believe it was. And he finds Rachel there. Rachel is watering the flock. Well, she came to water the flock, but there was a stone over the well. And so when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice, and he wept and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. She ran and told her father. So he meets Rachel and falls in love, basically, with Rachel. And later he agrees to serve Laban some 7 years for his daughter Rachel. But you know the story on the wedding night when he was supposed to marry Rachel. He lifts up the veil, and there's Leah, his not so attractive daughter, an older daughter, and he gives the excuse, Laban does, that, well, it's not good to marry the younger one first. You gotta marry the older daughter first, and then the younger one. He agrees later, you can have both of the daughters if you serve him yet another 7 years. And so he ends up, he wanted Rachel real bad, but he ended up with Leah. And if you know the story of Rachel and Leah, Leah had many more children than Rachel did. Rachel only had two children, which was Joseph and Benjamin, I believe it was. And so here we have a story. And what about the Lord Jesus? Did he not come to save the children of Israel? We see in the Bible that he loved Israel, that he was come to be the king of the Jews. He would come to save Israel. But who did he end up with? You know, by and by, he ends up with the Gentiles, didn't he? Isn't that a similitude? Could we say that? I'm not going to say that this is etched in stone the way it should be, but it seems to me that the Lord is performing this similitude. He did like Jacob did. He came to serve, he came to keep sheep. That's what he said he was here to do. And he loved Rachel. He loved Israel. He loved the Jewish people. But he ended up with the Gentiles. He had many more children, as it were, children of God, through the preaching of Paul. And even Peter went to the Gentiles. He went to Cornelius, the centurion. And the gospel was given to them, and he had many more people, more children through the Gentiles. And we can go further. You know, our scripture we read earlier, it said that by a prophet he was preserved. And was not Joseph the one who preserved Israel by being sent into Egypt, where the corn was, by the way? And we're not talking about yellow corn. We're talking about grain. Svelte or wheat or something like that, whatever they grew in Egypt, that's what they had. And some people, I knew someone that thought it was actually corn on the cob, you know, that they were growing. But the Bible says corn, and the term in the old days just meant any kind of grain like that. And so here we have Israel preserved by a prophet, and Joseph fills that bill too. He was preserved by a prophet. And what happened to the children, the other children, you know, Jacob's other children? They hated Joseph. They hated Joseph, you know. And Joseph was the one that Jacob loved, you know, but the other ones hated him. And is that not what we have today in the modern world? So many people claiming to be Christians. They express hatred for the Jews. They're against the Jews. They want a ceasefire. I won't get into that. That's a very controversial subject there. But they are anti-Israel. They're anti-Israel. And some of them, you know, some of the brothers, the 12 patriarchs, some of them wanted to kill Joseph. They wanted to kill him. But anyway, he was sold into slavery, and he was sold into Egypt, where he becomes the master, only second to the Pharaoh himself. And so that story is very much also like the Lord. Many people, many of us, you know, not me, praise God. God got me out of that mess, being anti-Semite and against Israel. All those things, I've learned otherwise. And some of the brothers, you know, they wanted to get Joseph away, you know. And then the one brother come back to the pit that he was in, and it was empty because he had already been sold into Egypt. But that was God's plan. It was God's plan to preserve. He said he preserved him by a prophet, and by a prophet he delivered the Jews too. We can go from there to Moses, can we not? And we may do that right. Okay, we can go back now to Hosea chapter 12 in verse 10 again, and where God is saying, I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. And then he goes on, let's see, in verse 13, and says, and by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. And we explain that possibly Joseph may be that prophet that preserved Israel. He certainly is in the Bible, but it may be the one who is doing this similitude that God is talking about. That another similitude would be the story of Moses in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, I believe it would be. Let's look in Exodus here. I'm just doing this on the fly right now. Let's see, it talks about the names of the children of Israel and the house of Levi. It says, a woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And this may be a controversial thing too, but she hid him 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And someone might say, in today's modern usage, why didn't she dress him up like a little girl? You know, they were ordered to kill all the male children at this time. The Pharaoh ordered that. But she had borne a son, and like it says in verse 2, saw that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. He was a proper child. She didn't even think of dressing him up like a little girl. She could no longer hide him. You know, he was just all boy, I guess, you know, you might say. So here we have Moses hidden in the bulrushes, and of course you know the story of Moses gets to be quite a leader in Egypt. He's given all the education that he can get from Egypt, and he's raised as the Pharaoh's daughter's son, he's quite an official there in the land of Egypt. And it says in Exodus 2, verse 11, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, the Jews in other words, and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, no Egyptian anyway, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand, buried him in a shallow grave, I guess. And when he went out, the second day rather, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince or a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. In other words, they've been blabbing this all over the place. And so he flew the coop, as we say, and he fled. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, if she finally did hear, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And you know the rest of the story. That's in Exodus chapter 2. That was verse 15. And he meets up with the priest of Midian, 7 daughters. They came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And so Moses gets a wife through all this. He gets married. So here we go on. There's Moses. And later, these Jews that he tried to get them to quit fighting, he said, who made thee a ruler over us? Who made thee a judge or a ruler over us? And it turns out that he actually did become the ruler of the people and delivered them from the land of Egypt. It's a wonderful story, the Exodus, the rest of the story of Exodus, how God uses Moses and Aaron, and they deliver the children of Israel by a prophet. They were delivered from the land of Egypt out of the bondage, the house of bondage, and become the land of Israel. Amen. A land flowing with milk and honey. It's the Lord. But all these similitudes point to one person. The ones we've read about, Jacob serving for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. We trace that back to Jesus. and the one about Israel is being delivered by a prophet. We trace that to Moses, but Jesus also is the same one again. He is the prophet who delivers Israel. He will in the end, and he delivers the children of Israel. And of course, in our similitude, we've got Leah's children and Rachel's children all in the same bunch. You know, they're in the same group called Israel. But we compared Leah to the Gentiles and Rachel to the Jews themselves, to Israel. And so there's another comparison with Jesus being the one who desired Israel. He said, I've come. Remember that woman that wanted her daughter healed? She had a devil. The daughter had a devil. And she says, heal my daughter. And he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it unto dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he said, well, woman, he didn't call her a dog again. He said, woman, great is thy faith. I think he said, be it unto you even as you have said. And her daughter was healed from that selfsame hour. And so here we have another similitude of Leah and Rachel and how they were considered. But remember, Rachel had only a few children. Leah had many more. And remember in the book of Acts, when Paul would go and preach, and the Jews would refuse maybe to hear, he would get a few saved in the synagogue, but he would preach to the Gentiles, and the whole town would come out to hear him, and the Jews got jealous about that because they had been in that town for years, and they would never get all the people in town out to hear them. I guess they didn't try. But anyway, Paul comes preaching, and the whole town comes to hear him. And so that's like Leah's children. I'm a Gentile myself, and I enjoy the love of God. I enjoy his mercy. He corrects me. He cares about what I do, what I say. It's wonderful to serve God. He cares about you. He'll work for you. He'll do things for you. It's blessed. It's wonderful to serve God.
This has been the Amen Corner radio program with Dave Moran. This program is on the air each Saturday from 10:30 to 11. Thank you all for tuning in. If you're looking for a home church or a church to visit, come to our services here at Harbor Light Holiness Church on Highway 42 East, just about 2 miles from Wilson, on the left-hand side, just past Tarts Mill Road. Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m., and evening service is at 6 p.m. Our midweek service is at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, so you can come and visit. Brother Irvin Lewis is our pastor. He'll be very happy to see you there.